Okay, so thanks for the chair for the introduction. And beginning my presentation, I'd like to start saying that Arachis glabrata is also known as the Rhizoma perennial peanut. It is the most widely used for warm season legume in Florida, mostly due to its high productivity and nutritive value, but also due to its high persistence. First released cultivar was Florigrace. And even nowadays, it is still the most widely used, despite the fact that we have already released other new entries. The University of Florida has done a great work in terms of selecting and releasing those new entries. And we have four of them that were released in the past years. Specifically about EcoTurf, that is one of them, besides its ornamental attributes, it has drawn the attention of researchers for its forage potential. Besides having a comparable productivity and nutritive value to Florigrace, it has shown a better ability to persist. We know that maturity is one of the main factors affecting forage nutritive value and herbage accumulation, and specifically for Florigrace, Romero and collaborators reported that maturity is negatively related to in situ dimer disappearance, and also it can be positively related to herbage accumulation. And despite that we know that those are common responses for forage plants, we also know that they depend upon genotypes and also edaphoclimatic conditions. And specifically for EcoTurf and South Florida conditions, we still have very limited information about this maturity effect on the herbage accumulation and nutritive value, and this is what led us to proceed with this experiment. So our hypothesis, based on literature, we hypothesized that increasing maturity will be positively related to productivity and negatively related to in situ dimer digestibility, and also that those two entries of our interest, EcoTurf and Florigrace, will have similar productivity and in situ dimer disappearance. Therefore, our objectives were to evaluate the effect of increasing regrowth intervals on herbage accumulation, leaf to stem ratio, and in situ dimer disappearance of both of our genotypes. Beginning our material methods, our experiment was done in South Florida at the UFIFA's Ranch Cattle Research and Education Center, in plots that were already established by the time. Our experimental period lasted from July to October of 2014 and 2015, and we began our experiment by staging mowing the plots at 4 centimeters stubble height with a potassium fertilization on July 30th. Our treatments were the split plot arrangement of genotype as the main plot with the levels Florigrace and EcoTurf, and regrowth interval as the subplots with the levels 4, 8, and 12 weeks. And our treatments were disposed in a randomized complete plot design with 4 replicates. Our field measurements were the herbage accumulation, in where we collected 3 rings of 0.25 square meters per plot that were clipped at a stubble height. And we also collected a 4th ring of the same dimension that we used for leaf to stem ratio evaluation. Just for the information, here we consider the leaf as only the leaflet portion, and the rest of the shoot was considered as stem. From the whole plant fraction of samples that we collected in the first phase, we drove our in situ dimer disappearance trial. So those samples were properly dried and ground at 4 millimeter of particular size, and they were placed inside of nylon bags at the rate of 4 grams per bag. And those samples were incubated inside of rooming cannulated steers that received only perennial peanut silage and a mineral mixture as feed. Incubation times were 0, 3, 6, 9, 12, 24, 36, and 72 hours. We used a nonlinear model of Oskarov and McDonald to estimate our in situ dimer disappearance parameters. And this is the model. where P represents the disappearance at time t, A represents the soluble fraction or the wash loss, B represents the potentially degradable fraction, C represents the fractional disappearance rate of fraction B only, and T is the time in hours. From that model, we estimated our fractions based on previous literature, and those fractions were our response variables, and they were the soluble fraction as the disappearance at time zero, and the degradable fraction as the amount of sample that was retaining the bags after 72 hours, and the potentially degradable fraction that was considered as the total sample minus the soluble and the undegradable. We also evaluated effective degradability, and we calculated it as the sum of the soluble fraction plus the potentially degradable fraction times its degradability. And it is degradability, as you can see here, was measured as the rate of degradation divided by the rate of degradation plus the rate of passage. In this experiment, we did not measure the rate of passage, so we used a value that was previously reported in literature of 5% of ruminal content per hour. Our statistical procedures, we use PROCMIC procedure of SAS, and we consider fixed effect only the treatments, and as random effects, year, block, and steer. We compared means by using the PD statement, and we consider them to be different when p-value was less than 0.05. Beginning with our results and discussion, I'd like here to first present the interaction of genotype and regrowth interval affecting the herbage accumulation. And so here in this table, we used the letters to make comparisons within genotypes, and the p-values to make comparisons within regrowth intervals. So first, looking at florigrade, so consider those letters here, we observed that from 4 to 8 weeks of regrowth, it had an increase in herbage accumulation, although it maintained herbage accumulation from 8 to 12. While EcoTurf, as you can see, it increased herbage accumulation for 4 to 12 weeks of regrowth. Also, we see here on the p-values that EcoTurf had a greater herbage accumulation than florigrade for the regrowth intervals of 8 and 12 weeks. It disagrees with previous literature that says that those two genotypes were similar in terms of herbage accumulation, but we believe that to be related to our edaphoclimatic conditions and also to the fact that we tested longer intervals than the previous report literature. We did not have effect of treatments in terms of leaf to stem ratio, and it averaged 2.8. But we did have treatments effect on the in situ dry matter fractions. So here this graph, this figure, shows the effect of regrowth intervals on the concentrations of each of those dry matter fractions based on their disappearance. The letters that you see here, they're used for comparisons within the fractions only. So here, for soluble fraction, we observed that the concentration increased on the 8 weeks of regrowth when compared to 4 and 12, and those other two didn't differ between themselves. While on the undegradable fraction, the 8 weeks also led to a decrease on the concentration of this fraction, while the others remained similar and higher. Based on previous literature, we were expecting to have a decreasing concentration of the soluble fraction and an increasing effect, increasing concentration of the undegradable fraction with increasing maturity, but that was not what we have here, and we believe that to be related to factors, primarily to our leaf to stem ratio that did not differ between was not affected by treatments, and also probably to the concentrations of other fractions that are not exposed here, like NDF and crude protein that are also being evaluated. We also obtained a genotype effect on the concentrations of those fractions, and here you can see that again the letters are for comparisons within fractions only, and the EcoTurf led to a greater concentration of the potentially degradable fraction and a lesser concentration of the undegradable fraction. As we did not have the same effect on the leaf to stem ratio, we believe that effect to be related to the chemical composition of each of those genotypes rather than differences in structure. Also, we did not have any treatment effect on the rate of disappearance. That was the overall mean was 9% of the ruminal content per hour. And finally, we have the effective degradation being affected by the genotype and regrowth interval interaction. And here, again, the letters are used for comparisons within genotypes, and the p-values are used for comparisons within regrowth intervals. And what we see here is that for Florigrace specifically, it had an increase in the effective degradation at 8 weeks of regrowth when compared to the others, while EcoTurf maintained consistently the same effective degradation across regrowth intervals. Also, we see that based on those p-values, the only regrowth intervals where we had a genotype effect was at 4 weeks of regrowth, where EcoTurf had a greater effective degradation than Florigrace. It indicates that EcoTurf, when harvested at 4 weeks of regrowth, has a better nutritive value and potentially a better forage quality than Florigrace. Concluding, the effects of maturity on productivity and in situ diameter disappearance are different for Florigrace and EcoTurf, so it disagrees with our hypothesis. They are different, and it depends on the genotype. And also, we concluded that EcoTurf can be managed at greater regrowth intervals with positive increments on herbicide accumulation and no deleterious effect on nutritive value. And with that, I'd like to acknowledge CAPES for sponsoring me, and also the folks from Ranch Cattle Research and Education Center. Sorry, can you repeat, please?
So, you consider genotype as your main effect?
Yes.
Is there any genetic variability among the genotypes or homogeneous?
So, the question is if there is any variability between the genotypes.
Among the genotypes.
Okay. They are variable in terms of structure. EcoTurf is a lower growing plant when compared to Florigrace, and recent researchers have shown that EcoTurf has a denser canopy than Florigrace. I don't know if it answers your question, if you're asking about structure or
chemical. Not comparing between the genotypes, like if you consider one of your genotypes, you consider several hundred plants, are they genetically similar?
So the question is if they are genetically similar. Yeah, they are. They're the same species, and they are not crosses. They were obtained in collections, and they were evaluated. They are selected, not bred.
So my actual question is, you treat genotype
for some of the variables, sorry. For some of the variables they were, but for some of the variables they were not. I'm not really sure if I understood your question, sir. I'm sorry. Okay.
One more question?
Yeah.
Did you see any weak encroachment in either of the two geotypes function of the foliation?
Okay. So the question is if we saw any difference in terms of weed encroachment in between those two genotypes, and the answer is indeed, and it's just visual, EcoTurf seemed to have lesser weeds, weed encroachment than Florigrass. However, for this experiment, we only collected the peanut, so weeds were not considered, although I think that for our conditions, EcoTurf seem to be better in terms of suppressing weeds than Florigrass.
All right, thank you.